You sure you're ready for this?
I'll do my best.
Your best? Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
They're never gonna bring me... God, fuck!
Okay, standing by now, Gene Okerlund with Ravishing Rick Rude and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Gentlemen, as you know, the ultimate warrior. Fuck it.
It's an 88 Magnum. It shoots through schools.
Hello, my freaky little darlings, and welcome to another episode of the Roastcast. Today is a bland day for weather. Like, draw a picture in your mind of the most nothing happening this day imaginable. That's exactly what it looks like today. And that's really the only time I ever notice the weather. Because when it's beautiful outside, I'm not thinking about the weather. I'm just out there doing. You know, I'm out riding motorcycles. I'm out at the college campus stalking down them Asian girls. Everybody knows I love Asian women. Everybody knows that I got the yellow fever. Everybody knows that. But the weather in that scenario is the furthest thing from my mind, right or wrong. Come on now, poontang pie or cloud movements? Which do you look at? Come on now. The opposite, that's also true. When the weather is awful, I mean piss and moan, hell on earth, run call mama kind of weather, is a fun. I don't take notice, because that's what I expect in this city. That's not special to me. I don't get all riled up when there's a storm, because there's generally a storm more often than not. We know the rules here. Storms outside, we staying in watching Game Show Network. Storms gone, we gone. Out here we only have two seasons, winter and construction. If it ain't one, it's the other. So when a bland ass day comes along, I am stricken with intrigue. You heard me, I'ma say it again, stricken with intrigue. I'm not afflicted with interest, I'm not beleaguered by notice, I'm stricken with intrigue. So take that nugget, form it into a little bolus in your mouth. It's rich. It's rich with chocolatey goodness, and now is added flavor for your ass. Anywho, it's all I can think about, is how we managed to get a bland ass day weather-wise out here. Especially when the weather people go out of their way to Da Vinci Code the motherfucker, you know? Like the weatherman yesterday didn't say, folks, we're gonna have a bland day tomorrow with an extra heaping of dough. You know he got up there and got on a 5-minute dialogue that spoke nothing of this shit. He rambled on about prairie winds and tropospheres, Canadian geese, the lunar axis, some such shit. Made it sound real important. Pretty much got to the point though where you sit there watching and say, yeah, whatever you old ass Guy Fieri looking motherfucker. It's true! The weathermen here are all fat, old, ugly white guys in primetime news, come on. The B crew consists of non-threatening menopausal white women. They're not ugly, and I ain't gonna rag on their looks, but MILFs and cougars they ain't. I've never watched the weather at 5 or 6 o'clock and said, that woman can make the world torrential sound sexy! Never! And for that, I feel robbed. Like, I was reading online this week, it's one of the worst kept secrets that weather people are chosen for their attractiveness. I mean, seeing as their job is about as useful as a coin flip. It's true. Studies have shown that in some regions, coin flips are actually more accurate than the local weatherman. So fuck it, why not have an attractive person giving you the quote-unquote forecast? But that's not the case out here. It's like we went out of our way in this city to cast the opposite. I got mad. I yelled at my TV after reading that. Where's the tits and ass? I want to get my chauvinist on. Hell, if they even had some 20-something Joe Collis type guy reading the weather in a cling to his abs t-shirt, I'd be sated, because it ain't just men who need eye candy on the TV screen, you know? I'd be happy if they just gave the women something, a hookup, something, come on, you know? But then I stumble across the news at a random ass time this week. Listen to me, folks. It was like Sunday night, 10 p.m. on some weird sister station. On walks this drop-dead knockout of a woman to give me the forecast. Oh man, she was smoking hot.
She had like a proper skirt on, but it showed her little leg. You know, it had the legs peeking out the bottom. Legs went on for days, I tell you. Like ZZ Top type legs. And she had these sexy glasses and her hair like in a bun. It was very hot for teacher. I had to rub my eyes. That's right, I said my eyes. To make sure I hadn't accidentally stumbled onto the Skinamax or some shit. But sure enough, she was Channel 4's D-string weather gal. And she damn sure made me want to teach her a thing or two about weather. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, baby, forget about the precipitation. This here is perspiration. It's a warm, sexual rain. Mm-hmm. Oh, ladies, I hear the sound of panties moistening, but Big Daddy, oh, he knows how to talk. He knows how to sing it to you, but more on that later. I have to believe this is some sort of conspiracy by the news stations. They must be sitting in the boardroom saying, "Fellas, we have the viewers by their respective balls and vulvas. They have no choice but to watch our newscast at 5 and 6, so let's send out the old gas bags and a librarian woman for weather at those times, and then to bring in that weird late-night looking-for-porn channel-surfing crowd, let's put out Babs McCleavage in front of the green screen Sunday nights at 10. Oh, Lord, did I just say Babs McCleavage? I think I did. I need to update my model for Sex and Soundy. Oh, Lord, I can't even talk tonight. I need to update my model for sexy sound and female names. I don't think there's even been anyone named Babs who was sexy since Farrah Fawcett was relevant. Oh, well. But I think I'm going to lead a boycott. I'm going to preach to the masses that we all need to stop watching the 5 and 6 o'clock news and start tuning in when they least expect it. We need to let them know that if the weather ain't going to be accurate, it at least needs to be sexy. If pennies aren't getting wet and chubs aren't being popped, we ain't watching. Come on now, who's with me? Hey, so speaking of backwards-ass strategies, today on CNN I saw that a would-be bank robber actually called ahead to the bank and told them he wanted $100,000 waiting for him when he got there. Do I even need to go on about this, chump? How behind schedule are you when you're calling ahead to rob a bank? Is this guy looking at his watch going, "Oh, shit. I'm supposed to be robbing the bank at 10:15. I'll never make it in time. Hell, I'll call and let him know I'm on the way." This is a case for loosening the belt of America's education even further. I mean, damn. It may make for dumber citizens, but it sure as hell makes for less effective criminals. Think about when Die Hard came out. Those villains were badass. Why? Because they were smart and slick and could pull shit off. Not to mention, putting Alan Rickman in a movie is a license to print money. Admit it, you almost liked Hans Gruber as much as you liked John McClane. I know I liked his foreign ass more than I liked Reginald Vail Johnson, a.k.a. the black Mr. Wilson to Steve Urkel's Dennis the Menace. Come on, folks! But seriously, we are 20 years away from the big action summer blockbuster cop movie that features Ray Ray and Tremaine as the quote-unquote supervillains, and their glorious plan is to rob the fucking 7-Eleven by brandishing a bean burrito, a lighter, and some exposed ass cheeks. You tell me, listeners, is it worse that this guy tried to call ahead a bank robbery, or that CNN is running the story as news? Load. Well, I'm gonna take a quick break, I'm gonna go feed my food hole, run a quick errand, if I could talk tonight, and then I'll be back to holler at you some more. Groovy.
She was young, she dreamed of being old. Thought about her future, wanted destiny foretold. And she grew old, relied on memories of her past. And she thought about her childhood and how it went so fast. Remembered little things like Sundays in the park, never getting tired. How she left the lights on, she was frightened by the dark, scared inside. Her carefree years were plagued with foolish fears.
That's right.
And now regretful tears. They line her roads to here,
yeah.
And make her remember something she was told as a kid.
Just a child, right?
Cherish your youth because your father never did. Cause time will wear you down.
You gotta stay strong.
The years will steal your crown.
You gotta hold tight.
So always enjoy the things you love while they're still around.
Said, ask no questions. I'm sick of
the lights. The only true moments when a newborn cries. You were 22, I think, when we met in LA.
You didn't talk much, girl.
You had so little to say. I was bold enough to ask you why. I saw the hurt that you were feeling, brought a tear to your eye. So we walked together that sunshining day. And if I remember it right, it was May in CA. Said by the age of 9, you were hooked on lines. You felt grown up in the city, but you had never felt fine. By 13, wasn't much left to take. No, but it came to the beach for their making, where they laid their stake. Yeah.
Remember something she was told as a kid, just a child, girl. Cherish your youth, because your father never did.
And so full of regret.
Time will wear you down.
You gotta stay on top.
Years will steal your crown.
Stay strong.
So always enjoy the things you love while they're still around. Young, she dreamed of being old. Funny. Now she thinks of her youth and the dreams that she had sold. Our twilight years are filled with foolish fears and our regretful tears. Or memories near and dear that clearly make you remember something she was told as a kid.
Just a child, girl.
Cherish your youth, because your father never
and
did.
And he's so full of regret.
Time will weigh you down. The years will steal your crown.
Stay on top of your world.
So always enjoy the things you love while they're still around.
Remember everything that they wanted you to learn
while they're still around.
Those bridges that they forced you to build and made you want to burn
while they're still around.
Always enjoy the things you love
while they're still around.
Alright, we back. Well, you're not back, you didn't go anywhere, but I'm back. Went to go stuff my food hole. Got some grilled cheese and some bacon. Threw it up in there, grilled it up real nice. Like to do a little light cooking every now and then on a bland ass day like today. Don't like to go out, just like to look out the window and study. Do a little people watching, do a little weather watching. But that's beside the point. I wanted to tell you about my experience at a restaurant I was going to try yesterday, but god dang it. Leslie and I were about to go out to dinner last night. I was going to do half the Rouse cast before, half the Rouse cast after. And then, what do you know, earlier in the day yesterday, Leslie goes and breaks the crown, has to go to the dentist, can't eat for like a couple days. So that's out the window. I'm sorry, but I'm angry about it too, because I was actually going to go to this place called Amy's Place with her. And it's one of these places, it's by the college. And if you're an artist or a college student, you've been there, you've worked there, you've hung out there, you've got a booth that you go to, like Cheers, or I need to update my references, like McLaren's on How I Met Your Mother, and everybody's been there but me. And that's the way it tends to be with about half the hotspots in town. Is half of them, I've got my booth, I've got a sandwich named after me, and I know everything on the menu backwards and forwards. The other half of the hotspots, I've never set foot in, I've never been to, I've never, you know, even peeked my head and got a whiff of the place. And it makes people go, how could you not have been there? And it's a matter of, you know, how people are selling it to me. Because places like Amy's Place, everybody and their brother's been there. Everybody's told me, you gotta go there, you gotta go there. Nobody's ever told me why. Tell me why, folks. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'll check out a place on a recommendation, but tell me why. They have really good burgers. This is a really good Indian food. Because I don't like Indian food. Curry ain't my thing. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. I like me a steak. I like me a chicken. I like me a cheeseburger. If you murder it, I'll eat it. But goddamn, don't tell me you gotta go to this place and not tell me why. Like, Spot Coffee is one of those places where everybody goes there, everybody talks about it, and you just expected to know it's the place to be for coffee and cafe and all that stuff. But I never went until somebody dragged my ass there. And that's the other thing. If you're going to sell me on this place and insist on not giving me any details, pay for it. Like, Leslie was going to cover dinner yesterday because it was like an apology dinner, but that's beside the point. So, if you're going to cover the meal, sure, I'll try it. You know, I'll take a shot in the dark at it. But tell me why I'm going there. So Spot Coffee, I got dragged there, but somebody else is paying for it. They have the most delicious milkshake I've ever had. It's called a Cinco Shake. And thank God it was on somebody else's dime, because I'm by no means cheap when it comes to spoiling myself. But I have my limits, and I know what's acceptable for a price. This milkshake is $5. If it's $5, it better be damn good. And that's like for the medium. So like the large is like six and a quarter. So I got the medium because I don't want to kill nobody. You don't go get a small though, because the small is like five something. And if you're going to get the small, you might as well get a medium for the price. So it's a single shake. It was, I think, vanilla, caramel, like coffee, butterscotch. And it was called a single shake because it's got five different flavors. And somehow, you would think that it's going to be a clusterfuck, but god damn, was it delicious. And they gave it to you, like, old-school style, with, like, the milkshake in the glass, and then the metal tumbler with the other half of the milkshake in it. I'm like, this makes sense. This is a reason to come here. I get it now. I will come back. I'll try the other things in the menu, but tell me why I'm going there. Even if it's out of the way, if I have a reason, if I have an endorsement from somebody I know and trust, I will go out of my way. Burrito Bay, out in Gettysville. It's a good 20-minute drive from if you're in parts unknown, it's 20 minutes from parts unknown. If you're in the city, it's 30-35 minutes, depending on what part of the city. If you're in SoBuff, you are about 40 minutes from this place, even taking the highways, because it's not an easy place to get to. It's in the middle of Bumfuck and Bumblefuck. It's right there in Gettysville. But it is well worth it. My friend was raving about this place, and he went into specific painstaking detail about a burrito called the Glutton. And you can't see it right now, but I'm an average size guy. Well, maybe just a little bit above average. I don't know, I'm sitting in about 6'2 and a half, about 158. He says to me, Josh, it's the size of your forearm. And I'm looking at my forearm going, damn, that's a big burrito. He's telling me about the buffalo chicken taco. It's got hot sauce, and not just like some Windex like bottle of hot sauce, they're just spraying it on, and no, it's Frank's, the good stuff. It's going on about the seasonings, and they make it right in front of you like a Subway. And so I had to go. I had to, and I've been going back ever since. Give me a reason. There's a place not a mile and a half from my house that does great Mexican food, from what I'm told. Because again, telling me it's Mexican is a start, but that's also not a whole lot of detail. Like, tell me it's Indian, that's an automatic no, but tell me it's Mexican, and I love Mexican. Everybody knows I love me some Mexican food. It's not enough. Tell me what's good about it. This place is a mile and a half from my house. Never been there. Everybody acts shocked. Well, tell me why I'm going. Do they have a good carne asada? Do they have the most attractive senorita serving you the drinks? I'll go for a pretty waitress. It's been well documented. I will show up somewhere if there's the chance, the hint of a pretty girl being there. Because, man, do I need to see some action. That's also one of the reasons why I was kind of okay with dinner with Leslie being canceled yesterday. Because Leslie's an attractive girl. Let's not get this mixed up. And I ain't doing nothing with her. She's been a friend for 2-3 years now, and I have not done word or deed number one with her. Call me crazy, but I'm just, I don't know. Is it me? Maybe I should be going after her. She's a dancer, belly dancer, very sexy. But I don't, it's something about me. Like, when I get a female friend, I use that as intel. Like, Leslie's one of my go-to people for, is this bitch crazy or is it me? And I need that point of reference. If I don't have any female friends, I don't have an extra ally in my relationships when I'm good enough to have a relationship. And I say good enough because I gotta get my act together. I gotta, you know, get my shit together. I gotta have some decent income. I gotta have a good outlook on things. I can't be all depressed and try to have a girlfriend, because that just doesn't work. You ever been in a relationship with somebody that's depressed? It brings the shit out of you, man. It just makes you acrimonious and bitter, and you can't be doing that. So it's gotta be sunshines in this land for me to be able to have a girlfriend. And she kinda helps me pull me out of that. Like, Josh, this is why you fucked up, and this is why you aren't getting the girl. So I kinda need that. And also, I can't try to make a move on her because she knows my playbook. Tell me, fellas, call in and let me know if you're having the same issues. Where you got that female friend where you want to be doing something, but she's been that designated female friend, and she knows all your bullshit, so you can't get nothing over on her. And if you found a way to overcome that, let me know. Seriously, let me know, because I need some advice. But anyway, let me know why I'm going to eat at this place, and I will show up with you. Pay for me, I'll show up with you. Or just tell me where it is,
and tell me that they have some pretty girls serving it. Even if you're lying, if you just get me in there, I'll be like, well, shit. He lied about the waitresses, but I might as well try the food while I'm here. I'm already out here. So just tell me there's going to be a pretty waitress there. If you really like the place that much, tell me there's going to be some pretty goddamn waitresses. I will show up to a vegetarian restaurant, and I love me some meat. April Fool's Day is afoot. If you haven't figured it out, I didn't mean to give my name away on this Rosecast, but this is Josh Smith of The Way Up over in Buffalo, New York. We're doing an April Fool's Day switcheroo. You are listening to Josh Smith hosting the Rosecast. For your regularly scheduled Dante Ross, go to thinktwiceradio.com, look for my show called The Way Up, and listen to Dante's edition of The Way Up. But that aside, this is pretty much the most ingenious thing I've come up with for April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day is not really my thing. I'm a professional comedian, and April Fool's Day is really a quiet day for me. Like, you ever watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, how all the baddies stay home on Halloween? That's kind of like what April Fool's Day is for me. People say to me, are you going to be involved? No, I'm not. Because why would I give away for free something that I get paid to do the rest of the year? And why, when everybody and their brother is doing my job, would I try to get out there and do it as well? Like, if there was a Go Fight Your Own Fires Day, do you think any firefighters would show up to work that day? Hell no. You'd call 911, they would say to you, do you know what calendar day it is, miss? It is June 17th. Go fight your own damn fires. So that's what I say to you all. You want some entertainment? Do not get it from me today. I am taking the day off. You go find your own damn entertainment. Go put a toothpick in somebody's cigarette. Make sure it don't light up. Go let the air out somebody's tires. Don't be mean about it. Just, you know, get a little ha-ha, then fill the tires back up. That's the other thing. If you're going to do a prank, make sure it's A, to somebody that you can get away with doing a prank on. B, make sure it's not vicious. I mean, every year we hear about some kid shooting up a school because somebody pulled his underwear one too many times. Make sure the person is, one, not going to kick your ass, two, not going to straight up cap your ass. Make sure it's a good-natured prank. Like, I've heard of good-natured pranks, and I would like to be involved in one someday, maybe. Or at least be witness to one. Maybe that's more like it. Maybe I'd rather be witness to one, not so much be involved in one. Like, I heard about an April Fool's Day prank at a local high school about a year ago. All the students, about 150 of them, in this one floor of the school got together, and they all brought in alarm clocks, and they put them in their lockers. They set them all for 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock rolls around, it sounds like Hiroshima's happening in that motherfucker. You see, that's harmless, it's not messy, it doesn't take a long time to set up or clean up or take down. How are you going to get in trouble for that? It's going to be slap on the wrist, or don't do that, or hey, you got me. Nobody's going to kick your ass, nobody's going to expel you, nobody's going to whoop your ass and kill you. That is the hallmark of a good April Fool's Day prank, is that you survive and everybody's happy and smiling. Don't be vicious. Like, my father, he's a truck driver. And he travels through towns, and everybody's got, like, their own, you know, setting where there's an initiation to a group, where there's a custom or a tradition, there's a law of the land. And one place he went to, I think it was down in Texas, there was a law of the land, like a tradition, like an admission prank or something like that. And the way it works is, you have to chop, the way they tell it to you is, they give you a hatchet, and you gotta chop the string that's set up between two sticks blindfolded after being spun around. And then you're cool with the gang. As opposed to being cool and the gang, which is a different band altogether. But you're cool with the gang, and they say, oh, let me hold your hat for you so you don't drop it in the mud. What they're really doing is taking your hat and putting it in front of you, and you chop your own hat. See, that's fucked up. My daddy, he doesn't really own anything nice, so when he chopped up his own hat, he lost $20, $30. That was it. But you get my ass up there and have me chopping up a $300 hat, I will straight whoop somebody's ass and then cap them. That's what I'm saying. Don't do that shit. Make it simple, make it ha-ha, make it funny. Don't make it cruel and vicious, okay? That's my advice for you. That's the professional's advice, and I am a professional. I put down professional smartass on the W-2, so you can listen to me. Just don't come looking for me in a lawsuit. You cannot subpoena my ass, because all you have is a name. You do not have my number. You do not have my address. Don't come calling me. I do not need to deal with that bullshit. You ought to know better. It's the made-up holidays that always get me the most. I'm never really a big participant. April Fool's Day, not an official holiday. It's one of them unofficial things. Like, take your child to work day. My daddy was a truck driver. Couldn't allow passengers in the truck with him. My mom worked for a daycare center. Couldn't go with her. And also, I already went to the daycare center after school anyways, so it wasn't nothing special even if I did go. But But everybody else had like a mom who worked at an office or a dad who worked at a clinic or something like that. And everybody else got to go that day. And basically it was me, the weird kid, and the fat kid, and the teacher just staring at each other for an entire goddamn day. They didn't give you the day off if your parents had jobs you couldn't go to. They just made you miserable for an entire day every year. Man, it's those messed up holidays that I've never been involved in. Like, Sweetest Day? I'm burping on mic here. That's great. Also, reason why I'm not involved in Sweetest Day is I'm burping on mic and it's not sexy. Ladies, you gotta cut me some slack here. I don't have the sexiest voice. I don't have, like, the deep chocolate soul of a Dante Ross. I have a little bit of a southern redneck twang, and I'm from Buffalo. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. It's because I had an ex-girlfriend, and she used to love that Sawyer character on Lost, and she always wanted me to read to her in a southern accent, so I did, and it kind of stuck. And that ain't the coolest accent to get stuck with. I'm trying to shake it over the years. It just ain't going nowhere. I don't know why. I just fell into it. Like, why couldn't I fall into a James Bond, like, "Say, Q, this is, it looks like a pen, but really, you're telling me that it's a laser beam that will protect me from sharks." Ain't that the most hick-ass, retarded British accent you ever heard? Why I can't get a British accent, I don't know. Couldn't get me an Australian accent, couldn't get me, like, even a German accent. If I could be like, "Jawohl!" You know, get people scared of me. Ain't nobody scared of a southern accent. Ain't nobody turned on by it. Are panties moistening right now? I have to really, like, put on a fake accent to try to, like, get a sexy voice. Like, "Hey, ladies. Is that even sexy? Hey, ladies. Call me, let me know if panties are dropping right now. Hey, ladies." But so, Sweetest Day, like, the reverse Valentine's Day. The Valentine's Day is all about the men. Never been involved in that. Because all my girlfriends tend to not be from this area, and this area is one of the few in the nation that celebrates Sweetest Day. Like, it came from overseas, and like a lot of things that came from overseas, America has just ignored it. But certain areas like to latch on to things, and we latch on to Sweetest Day out here, and my girlfriends are from cities where they'd never heard of it and don't give a fuck about it. And Valentine's Day ain't much better either. It seems like no matter how long I can keep a girlfriend, be it 9 months, 10 months, that month that I can keep them is never February. I'm always at home Valentine's Day, looking at the radio going, "God damn you motherfuckers." If anybody wants to help me change that next year, let me know. If you think I'm sexy, get me on Facebook, something like that, you know. But I'm never involved in these fake-ass holidays. St. Patrick's Day, closer to being real, a lot closer to being valid. I was in New York City last year, Times Square, St. Patrick's Day, midnight. I only go to McDonald's once, maybe twice a year. I don't eat nothing from there. I will never eat anything from there, ever again. I have not eaten there in the past 6 years more than once, and it was only one time in 2006 because I had a date who would refuse to go anywhere else. You can see why I only lasted 2 dates with a broad like that. Only eaten there once in 6 years. The only time I go there for anything is for the occasional milkshake if they got something that, you know, piques my interest. Like the minty mud bath shake they had for Shrek 2. I love the shit out of that shake. It was mint. It was chocolate. It's exactly what I go to every year in March McDonald's for. Is I get the shamrock shake, but I have them mix it with a chocolate shake in the same cup so it tastes like a thin mint Girl Scout cookie. So I went Times Square, St. Patrick's Day, midnight, New York City, last year, to a McDonald's to go get me my Shamrock Shake. And they say to me, "Sir, we don't serve the Shamrock Shake." I got belligerent like a motherfucker. I'm like, "Excuse me. This is New York City. For the right price, I can get a hooker. For the right price, I can get somebody killed. You mean to tell me I can't get a goddamn Shamrock Shake in Times Square on St. Patrick's Day? An Irishman like me." I left mad as a motherfucker. Man, holidays never been good to me. But hopefully the St. Patrick's Day has been good to you. Hopefully April Fool's Day has been good to you. I hope you've enjoyed my wacky ass Ross cast. The way I pronounce it, Ross cast. I put a little extra side of English on the old little Ross cast. Makes it sound bastardized and some shit, but I hope you enjoyed it. I'm having a crazy-ass day. You have yourself as a crazy-ass day, too. And enjoy Dante when he gets back tomorrow. You can appreciate him even more. You'll be like, "Hey, Dante, what the fuck was that shit on April 1st, man? Some cracker-ass motherfucker from Buffalo calling in, talking about, this is the Ross cast. It's Josh Smith. What up? April Fool's Day." Tell him, no, don't do that shit again. Get Kiyoshi back. Get Camille back. Don't bring this guy out again. But if you really like me, come tell me, 716-823-1750, thinktwiceradio.com. I write for crack.com occasionally, but again, Dante Show. So I got to plug the oshow.com, thashow.com, feedyourfooledhole.blogspot.com, dantania.podomatic.com, or whatever the hell it's called. You have yourselves a great day, and I'm out this motherfucker. Rockets.
What's with the weather, guys? Let me ask you something. Yesterday, everything is Doppler. Doppler's coming. Here comes Doppler. But on one channel, it was dual Doppler. Ah! We used to call it rain. My wife called me. She goes, where are you? I go, I'm in the bathtub in the hotel with a helmet on. Honey, tell the kids I love them, but Doppler got me.